The bulletin, the sermon title is Every Word of God is for Every Face, Every Ear, and Every Action. To put it another way, God wants all of His people to hear and obey all of His Word. God wants all of His people, including you, to hear and obey all of His Word. Every word for every ear, every word for every action, and every word for every face. The word all in this text is mentioned five times in these few short verses. Let me refresh your background, the background here a little bit. We've been studying Joshua together, and as you know, the people had just recently entered the Promised Land. The land of Canaan. They had crossed over the Jordan River. They had fought in three battles with their enemies. In Canaan proper, that is. The first battle, what happened? They win or lose? They won. The second battle, what happened? They lost. And the third battle, which was a rematch, they won. And now, after only the third battle, they move north to the town of Shechem for a time here mentioned, a time of reflection, a time of meditation, a time for them to pay special attention to an important message from God. You might think of it this way. Here you're watching a regular television program of yours. You're taking in all the action. And all of a sudden, we interrupt this program with a special broadcast. And they give you this sudden break in the action. The announcer comes on and gives you an important message that he wants everyone to hear. And in the same way, God interrupts the program and the activity of the Israelites. He interrupts their campaign to bring them a very important and special message that He wants all the people to hear. And so He gathers all the people, women and children, the judges, everybody who was there. And He says, basically, I want all of My people to hear and obey all of My Word. You know, it's interesting that there should be a break in the battle. Because God had something He wanted to tell the people. Something that they had already known in their minds. But did they really know it? Something that He wanted them to be reminded of and to reflect upon. And you this morning, God wants you to reflect upon a message that you know quite well. But how well do you really know it? You see, God wants all of His people to know this message. And the message is He wants you to hear all of His Word. And He wants you to obey all of His Word. Look at the text again, if you would. We see in Joshua where we see every word is for every ear. That is, God wants His people to hear His Word. Look at verse 32, where He says, there in the presence of the Israelites, Joshua copied on the stones the law of Moses, which he had written. So he copied the Mosaic law. And then verses 34 and 35, afterward Joshua read all of the words of the law. He read it. In verse 35, he goes on to say, there was not a word of all that Moses had commanded that Joshua did not read to the whole assembly. The point here is that God wants you to hear His Word. On a practical side, why does God want you to hear His Word? Why is it important for you to come under the reading and the hearing of God's Word? Well, think of Romans 10, for instance, where it says, how can they believe if they have not heard? And we know that people are not going to come to Christ, right, unless they hear about Christ. How are they going to come to Christ and believe unless they hear? Well, the same is true for the Christian. How are you going to come to a greater faith yourself? How are you going to grow in your faith, in your relationship with Christ, if you don't come under the hearing of the Word? Romans says, how can they believe And I ask you, how can you believe? How can you strengthen your belief if you do not hear? Hearing provides a source of strength for your life that you should never underestimate. Some of you are weak because you're not coming under the hearing of the Word, because you're not reading the Word of God, which was preserved for you. And so you're weaker than you should be. Some of you are short in patience. You're short in strength. You're lacking in your joy. It's not as full as God would like you to have it. And the reason is because you haven't placed yourself under the hearing of the Word. Some of you are filled with bitterness and worry and anxiety and filled with all these things that you need to get out of your system. But in order for you to get them out of your system, you've got to again come under the hearing of the Word. The Word of God is the instrument that will help you and encourage you. And so there's a break in the action. And God says, now let's reflect for a moment, as it were, upon these three battles. The first you won, the second one you lost, and the third one you won. Why did you lose that second one? Because something had changed in the people's lives, at least in the life of Achan. Sin had crept in. And in order for that to get out, we've got to come under the hearing again of God's Word. Ephesians 6 puts it this way, where it talks of the Word of God as the instrument that the Holy Spirit helps you use in your life to fight your battles. The Word of God. Listen, Ephesians 6. Put on the full armor of God. Why? So you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the powers of this dark world and against the spiritual forces of evil. Take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Many of you are facing the battle of your day or your week. You wake up and you go in without a sword. You go to work without a sword, or you go to battle without taking a weapon. You go ill-prepared. In the old days, would you expect a soldier to go into battle without his sword? What was his chances of making it through the battle? Pretty slim, weren't they? Scripture says, put on the full armor of God so you can take your stand against the devil's schemes, so you're going to be able to stand up under the pressures and under the temptations that you face each day. And you're not fighting against flesh and blood, Ephesians tell us. You're fighting against things you don't see. You're fighting against spiritual forces of evil. And how do you fight those forces? You fight it by taking the sword of the Spirit, and that which is the Word of God. Coming under the reading, the hearing of the Word, exposing yourself to what God has spoken. And then once you've done that, then you're equipped to fight the day's battles. Most of us agree of the importance of hearing God's Word on a regular basis. But yet millions of sounds are coming into your ears, and very few sounds coming from God's mouth. Millions of sounds go into your ears every day, even now, right? You hear all kinds of sounds here. You can hear people rustling in the pews. You can hear people whispering every now and then. You hear all kinds of humming in the background, whatever that is, a fan's on. Sounds, your whole day, coming in, millions of them, into your life. But how many of those sounds can you say, ah, that's a word from God? How many of those sounds are a message from God to you for that day? Scripture says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Many of us are into aerobics, and we're into dieting, and we're into nutrition. But how about our spiritual aerobics, our spiritual dieting? You're not going to live just simply based upon the physical things, the foods and the exercise. But we've got to remember about the food and the exercise of our souls, our spirits. The Lord wants us to come under the hearing of His Word. Chapter 8, verse 35 says, there was not a word of all that Moses had commanded, that Joshua did not read to the whole assembly. God wants you to hear His Word, and He wants you to hear all of it. All of it. He wants you to pay attention to everything that's in here. It's a message for you to hear, to digest, to go through your ears, to go across your eyes, and to go in to your heart to bring you strength and life. You know, Scripture indeed teaches that God wants all of His Word to be heard. In fact, some of the cults that are formed because people are hearing the Word of God, but they aren't hearing all of it. They hear some of it, and that's it. For instance, Christian Science religion, or some of the universalist groups, which say they're all going to make it to heaven someday. We're all going to be all right in the final analysis. Because God is a God of love. And that's what the Scripture teaches, right? One of the basic Bible memory verses that our kids learn as just a little toddler. God is love. God cares for me. He loves me. And yet the same Word that we come under and hear it all, the same Word says that God is a judge. That God will not let the guilty go unpunished. That the wages of sin is death. Scripture, the same Scripture that talks about people being raised to eternal life, speaks about those who are raised to damnation, eternal damnation, in John chapter 5. And so it's important for us to come under all of the Word, to hear it all. And notice that verse 34, it says, Joshua read all the words of the law, the blessings and the curses, the blessings and the curses, just as it was written in the book, verse 34. When we think about the cross, let's just don't think about the love of Christ only. It is the love of Christ. But it's the curse of God. He became a curse for us. Why did He die on the cross? Just to bring us God's love? No, there's another message too, is that you will be condemned. You'll be judged because of your sin. God hates sin. And we need to realize and read the whole Word that God condemns sin in your life. And the reason that Christ died was not just to bring us God's love. It's to bring us the justice and the judgment of God upon sin. And of course, we need to hear that message because it will bring us again back to God's love if we have truly embraced Christ and what He has done. You know, one of the advantages of preaching through a book or reading through a book is that you don't miss anything. You hear it all. It may take quite a while to get through, but you're looking at all of it, all the way through. And some of you, like our late and beloved friend Grace Hackley, have learned the value in more recent times, learned the value of reading the Bible once through in a year. And so you're developing the practice. You sit down for 10 minutes a day, and by the time the year is over, you finish the Bible, and you start it again. Or maybe you mix it up how you read it. Maybe it's not from Genesis to Revelation. Maybe you have a system or one of those little handouts they give you. But that's a tremendous approach that I commend to you, and the Scripture commends to you. Joshua read all the Word that day to the people. And God has given us not just the Gospel of John. God has given us the entire Bible for you, so that you would hear it and that you would hear all of it on a regular basis. Every word for every year. But God not only wants you to hear His Word and to hear all of it, but God wants you to obey every word. God wants you to not just hear it, but once you've heard it, to pay attention to all of it, to submit to every part of what He has told you. The Apostle James, as you know, put it this way, be not hearers of the Word only, but doers. We see in verse 30 the example of Joshua, who built the worship altar according to what God had commanded. Joshua was not just taking these actions on his own. He was acting in accordance to what God had told him and commanded. He was acting in accordance to what he had heard. Verses 31, 33, and 35 mentions the word command or commanded a number of times there. And the implication is that a command demands a response. The commands or the words that God runs through your ears or across your eyes demand a response. That's why they're there. They want a reaction from you. Not just so you can quote some memory verses. Deuteronomy 29:29 put it this way. The secret things belong to the Lord our God, but the things revealed belong to us and to our children forever. Why? Why do these things revealed belong to us and to our children forever? So that, the Scripture says, so that we may follow or obey all the words of this law. The reason they're revealed here is for you, not just to hear, but so that you obey them. And you'll begin to put them into practice in your life. You know, the story is told of a husband and wife who were discussing the possibility of taking a trip. My wife and I are planning a trip right now. But these people were discussing a trip to the Holy Land. And the husband said, wouldn't it be fantastic if we could go to the Holy Land and shout the Ten Commandments from Mount Sinai? And of course, the wife said, it would be better if we stayed home and just kept them. And she's right. If we just keep the commandments, we would do well. Every word for every action. Scripture says, blessed are those who hear the word of God and obey it. It's interesting that Luke chapter 11, verse 28, and you look at the context there, because it's given all this praise and attention to Mary, Jesus' mother, and saying how blessed she is to give birth to the Messiah, for she is, to give birth to the special child. And Jesus interrupts and says, blessed are those who hear the word of God and obey it. James 1:25 says it this way, the man who looks intently into the perfect law and continues to do this, not forgetting what he has heard, but doing it, he will be blessed in what he does. Joshua read the curses and the blessings, not just so they would hear it all, but so that they would enjoy the better part, so they would enjoy the blessings as they came under the hearing. You know, Moses, sometime earlier, also read the curses and the blessings of the law, the blessings that God wants you to have. But how are you going to get them? Really, Moses points it out quite clearly. You want a greater blessing in your life? You want a fuller joy? You want more patience? You want more, less anxiety and more perseverance, and more of everything that's going to make you better? How do you get it? Well, listen to Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 15 and following, because it's very apropos at this point. Because it says, verse 15, see, I set before you today life and prosperity, death and destruction. Verse 16, for I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in His ways, and to keep His commands, decrees, and laws. Then you will live and increase, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land you are entering to possess. Go on to verse 19. He says, this day I call heaven and earth as a witness, or as witnesses against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessings and cursings. Now, what are the people going to get? He reads the blessings, he reads the cursings, it's Moses. What are they going to receive? It really is up to you, isn't it? Listen to the next verse. He says, now choose life. Choose life so that you and your children may live and that you may love the Lord your God. Listen to His voice and hold fast to Him. For the Lord is your life and He will give you many years in the land He swore to give to your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. God was interrupting the program in Moses' time, and he was interrupting the program in Joshua's time, and he interrupts the program of your life right now to say there are blessings and there are cursings. There's good and bad you can receive in this life. What are you going to choose? You choose obedience. You choose blessing. You choose obedience. You choose God's best for you and for your family. You choose abundant life. Every word is for every action. It all depends upon whether or not you're willing to put into action the words you run across your ears and across your eyes. The former president of Princeton said after he received the gift of eternal life, he said his whole life became one big thank you to God. Our lives should be in a thank you. If we truly have life everlasting, we can show our expression to God of our thanks by obeying what we know to be true. You know, Joshua and the Israelites offered two kinds of sacrifices to the Lord that day. They offered burnt offerings and fellowship offerings. Look at verse 31, if you would, where it says, they offered to the Lord burnt offerings and sacrificed fellowship offerings. There in the second part of the verse. Some of you know about fellowship offerings, right? In the Old Testament, or peace offerings, they're sometimes called. Well, one of the things that these offerings did, these fellowship offerings, is they expressed thanks to God. They were offered up when some exceptional blessing, some unusual blessing had been given to the people. And the people would appropriately respond with an offering unto the Lord. Israel had been given a tremendous blessing. They had entered into the promised land just recently. And now, there north in Shechem, they took time to give thanks to God. For after all these hundreds of years, and after recently 40 years in the desert, this new generation had been raised up to experience the blessings of God that were taking place in the new promised land. And so they offered a thank offering, a fellowship offering to the Lord for how He has blessed their lives. And rightly so. And so you should offer obedience, a thank offering to the Lord for how He's given you life eternal in Jesus Christ, for how you've entered into a new life in Christ. And notice the other offering there that He offered. It wasn't simply a thank you offering, but it was a burnt offering. A burnt offering in verse 31. And with a burnt offering, everything was offered to God. The entire sacrifice was burned up. There was nothing left over. It was the complete and total offering unto God, which Leon Wood in his Survey of Israel's History, his book, he says the burnt offering symbolized a complete and total consecration of our lives to God. Israel had just entered the land. They had won a battle. They lost and they won again. And God interrupted their campaign. And they had an offering. One of it was a burnt offering, symbolizing God wanting complete consecration of our lives, consecration of your life totally. He wants you to be totally set apart to fight the battles of the world, fight them living for Him, following Him, fighting His ways, and not in your own ways, in your own strength. This morning I ask, is your life consecrated to God? Is it a burnt offering? Is there something you're keeping for yourself, or have you offered up all of yourself unto the Lord? Are you totally available right now to be used by God? Or is there something that you're holding back, that you refuse to give to God? The beauty of seeing the burnt offering was that it was completely consumed. There was nothing left over that the people could use for themselves. They gave it all to God. And so it is with our lives. that we're to hear every word that we might put into practice, every word, giving all to God, serving Him in His way. Scripture says that we are to be conformed to the likeness of Christ. That's our aim. Scripture says we're not our own. We've been bought with a price. You belong to Christ. You don't belong to yourself anymore. So in summary, God wants you, all of you, to hear His Word, to obey His Word. God wants you to hear everything from beginning to end, to saturate yourself with what is in this book, to meet with people, to discuss it, to study it, to pray over it, to read it individually, to hear it on the radio, to hear it from the pulpit, to run it in and out of your minds on a regular basis, and then to put into action all of what you hear, consecrated to God. Notice in verse 33, there was not a word of all that Moses had commanded that Joshua did not read to the whole assembly of Israel, including the women and the children and the aliens who lived among them. No words left out, no people left out. God wants all of us to be hearing and obeying all of His Word. And so let us, this time, take a moment of personal reflection upon that statement, that God wants all of us to hear and obey all of His Word. Let us reflect upon our own lives. For you need to ask yourself, have I been paying attention to God's Word? Both in reading and both in applying it to my life. Have I been hearing God's Word? And moreover, have I been obeying it? Or am I just living for myself? Let us reflect privately upon our sins that we've recently committed unto the Lord.